Our next guest is quite an iconic guest, really. He's had 50 plus years in the music business, and I hope I don't embarrass him by saying that figure, but it's been quite an iconic career. And he's bringing his latest tour to Lincoln. And you've been to Lincoln quite a few times, and we say good morning to Mr. Francis Rossi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for joining us on Siren Radio today. So you're obviously coming to Lincoln in May, and you're no stranger to Lincoln. You've been here a few times, haven't you?
Two or three times to that theatre, I think. It's quite a nice vibe in there, and obviously the promoter thinks it's good. But, you know, you have to do promo and let people know you're coming. And it's one of the things that's very different from an early part of our career that... people would know you're coming. I find that generally I hear someone's in town or someone's on tour and I have no idea that the way that's all changed. But yeah, so we are coming with the Tunes and Chat tour. I just hope I can get enough chat in it because I love a chat.
When I was doing my research with you coming to Lincoln, you came with Status Quo in 2004. And I found an original set list from 2004 when you played at Lincoln Castle.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just wondering, obviously, you're coming with your tour. What can people expect from the tour? What songs have you reworked to put into that tour?
I've got 18 or 20, and at the moment we were rehearsing yesterday, and it's already overrunning because I want to get talking. As I said, I like engaging the audience and such. But we have quite a lot of old school stuff with the April Spring and the Spinning Wheel Blues and In My Chair. That's Pipe, and there's some of the more modern stuff, Tongue Tied and Blessed Are the Meek, and I think Rockin's in there and Bridges is in there. They're all slightly different. There's something different in it, per se, where even when you're just sitting there, if I did it exactly as they were, something different happens in the timbre of the voice, and because you aren't fighting this physical... And that's what I feel when I walk on with Quo, wherever it is we go on, there's this tension develops. That you've got to, because it's that rock physical. This is kind of la la. And that I found when I first went out with the talk tour that I quite liked that. I never thought I would, but I really, really like it. And I like the smaller 300-400 seaters. And again, I suppose with Quo over the years, because you start there and build out of that, is it would be. If we Quo were going there, it'd be, have you just seen what they've dropped to? See, it's all over for them, you know. And that would kill me, that the idea of that. Even if people are saying that and I'm unaware at present. So the idea of going in there to do this, I'm very, very much looking forward to it. But I've got to temper that a little with the expectation of it's going to be so good. Because whenever you do that, you tend to fall on your face.
Yeah, because I've seen several interviews with you. Do you still get nervous even doing the smaller gigs? Because obviously you've done one massive gig in your career, which is quite iconic. And we could talk about that if you want. But do you still get nervous about doing the smaller gigs as well?
My mental image when I did the talk tours, they walk on and there's this lovely warm, I kind of smile, and then I can see myself walking, as I said, with Quo, and there's this right. And so the nervousness is in the Quo thing, and if this one goes, or when it did go slightly wrong, or I made a mistake, which I do a lot, it didn't seem so, what have you done? It was kind of, yeah, I don't know, did you hear that? I just messed up. Or I forgot a lyric, or I'd stop, and I'm a bit lost. So I do get... You have to have a little bit of apprehension, if you like. Or in the Quo set, we years ago had a problem with that. So we have clicks in our ears to see the tempo of each song. Now, if you're standing there with the Caroline's about to go, I stand looking at everybody. And if that click seems too slow, that means you're nervous. Because your heart's ahead of the click, which is no good. But if it's the other way around, then you need to lift yourself and... So though it gives you an indication from the moment you start. None of that exists in this thingy tour. That's the only thing I think. At the moment, I've got so many tunes that I don't want to push it down that. Come on, it must be. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Where is it? It wasn't in the last one. And you know why the last tour was called He Talks Too Much?
Why is that?
Oh, lovely. That was very nice of you.
So why, you know, with your stories and things like that, have you got some really iconic stories that, you know, are you rehearsing your stories or will it be just like on the night, I will just remember a story?
Well, that's the big worry. Lots of the stories were Mick Wall was with me, and he did the book for me or with me. And so he decided to chronologically work from when I was born, and I would start, and we'd go, and he'd keep nudging me because I'd overrun. This one is the one worry. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. So I had to put a Q&A in the early in the first half to get something to talk about. I can't really go out and just say, here's the story, and tell the story about Cardiff again or about Live Aid again, or unless somebody in the audience says, tell us about Live Aid. Too bad, you're going to get it again. So that's the one apprehension, if you like, is that I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But as I said to you, I didn't know I was going to talk about when you called or I called. So something happens, whether it's his bottom, you know, yeah. Going, oh, my goodness. Or he just talks too much. When he was younger, he was worried about it. I'm not anymore.
Do you ever look back on your career and think that was a highlight and that I shouldn't have done again? Because you touched earlier about I shouldn't have done these things and stuff. And do you often look back and think that was a real career highlight for me?
Well, the obvious one is Live Aid and certain gigs. Like there was a gig in Berlin that we did with the Beach Boys and Charles Aznavour to celebrate something to do with the troops leaving and all this with 350,000 people. But because of the way this business, you just move to the next thing. So even though one achieves a highlight, what was next? It's always like that. You must sense that. You want, good, that's your big, I've done that. So what's next? You're always going on. It's always that stick on the head of one's forehead with the carrot. It just frightens you. You think, what happens if I get the carrot? Ah, then what? So they say this business keeps us young and so on. Well, to a degree it does, because I'm talking about something now I haven't even started. I've been talking about that and the end of that and the status quo. We're probably going to go out in 24 summer. And you go, well, and then they're talking to me about what we may do 25 and 26. I've got to be here, but we still plan. Yeah.
I'm sure you will still be here. You know, you're still going and stuff like that. You're still rocking. I mean, how many dates is this tour, this latest tour you're going on? Because it's quite a few dates, isn't it?
Yeah, 100 in all. It does 50 and then breaks for the summer and does another 50, which part of me is even saying that to you. It's like, yeah, because I suppose when we were younger, all you wanted to do was get a gig. The idea of getting it, not them. So all you wanted to was have gigs, because the thing was you did not want to slide back into, I've got to go and cut grass for the council again or whatever it was I did. And that's a kind of failure, if you like. And in our business, failure is not good. You have to keep going. And I think people say we've been hard working with this. It's just that you're hanging on. I'm still hanging on to whatever that thing of success is, but the trappings that come with it, the income, the house you live in. It's not like I just keep all the dosh over there and there. It's lovely and it's just pretty. No, it just keeps depleting like everyone else's.
Yeah, what keeps you going? What keeps you going? You know, is it the fans and stuff? Because obviously we're on Twitter. When I've been looking at the Twitter feed for the Lincoln, when people have met you in Lincoln, they've all sort of like, yay, Francis Rossi is coming back, and they're all really pleased to have met you and stuff like that. So I think Lincoln's quite an iconic venue.
I'm telling that. that's really nice. It makes you feel, I'm special. But no, mustn't do that. What keeps us going? I know, I think it's ego. I think it's the taste of success or some form of success. And I realised the other day, I go to this school in Aylesford, quite every couple of years, I haven't been 4 years, and I go to this room with maybe 40 kids between 12 and 17 or 18. And I came home from that the other day, and I thought, I really enjoyed that. There's something in that. Even then, it was like, yeah, I enjoyed that. I drove home and I buzzed. Even after this, I should be sitting there, enjoyed that. So it's feeding his ego, I think. I think it's as vacuous as that. It feeds one ego.
So what do you listen to on the road? Do you listen to your own tracks in the car, you know, or
no,
what
I,
sort of
I don't
music?
Listen to anything anymore. I don't really listen. I listen to a bit of radio occasionally, but I find it winds me up somewhat. I've been listening a lot to an Everly Brothers album, which I used to listen to a lot years ago. I even, in the lockdown, had Vera Lynn. I heard some Vera Lynn somewhere, and I got a load of her albums. So you're not supposed to say that I like that, but I do. And Italian opera, I tend to go back to that. When we're on the bus out, we were out last year, the two young ones, i.e. 36 and 40-something, they tend to use that language, what's that word, Spotify. And so they play all sorts of stuff downstairs. And I just hear that. And no, I don't listen to a lot of music anymore. I play a lot of music. I tend to, like I said, I was rehearsing all day yesterday. And then I practice at night on the electric guitar to keep the hand in. I'm still trying to improve, and it's not working.
You're still trying to improve after a how many years career?
Yeah, but it's... I should have studied harder when I was younger, and I didn't. I was a big head. Got success, and success made him think he was something, probably. So he didn't learn too much, I don't think.
I was listening to you last night, and then again this morning, you know, and I've revisited Status Quo, and there was tracks, obviously, because I won't say how old I wasn't, and there was tracks I was re-listening to this morning, and I thought, what iconic songs you guys had, and some of those never actually came out, and some of them are just such iconic songs, you know. Have you got your favourite all-time song?
That I can agree with, because I occasionally go there, or like I said, the guys do it on the bus sometimes, and I go down there and stand there, and they start playing stuff. I go, that was good. And there was one track Richie had sent. He left Hamburg, went home, and came for some reason came back. And he said this picture of his trip, and he sent this song. And it was a cover. I hate cover albums. And I said to the PA, I said, that's good. Who are they? Sounds like they're trying to copy us, you know. So the Israel went, oh, that was good, that. And that, I think that's nice. I have a song called All We Really Want to Do that I always thought was going to change the world, and it never did. And I just love it to death. And there are songs like that. There's Alan Lancaster's song called Who Asked You? I just think is so marvellous. But that's all of us with our personal taste. It's our personal taste that we do that, which I suppose why we all, if we like blues, we thought, well, of course, the rest of it's rubbish. I like blues or reggae or rock or heavy metal or pop or whatever. But we all tend to say, oh, not pop. What do you mean pop? I just love it all. I just like this. There it is. Fantastic. I don't care what genre of music it is. I like, I will put tomorrow morning, probably now I've mentioned it, put Vera Lynn on in the bathroom. And it's just, wow, she's wonderful.
That's quite an interesting interesting fact to know, you know, sort of like, because obviously you've played rock and stuff like that, that you actually like Vera Lynn. You know, it just shows you how diverse your music tastes are, really.
Well, I think it's music. And I don't, as I said, perhaps 20, 25 years ago, I wouldn't have said it, because I was doing an interview once in Deutschland, and a day of interviews, and they'd asked me my favourite, and at the time I was doing some ABBA stuff. And I came off the thing, and this guy said, Francis, I do not think you should say this, you know. What? Is that you like ABBA? I said, why not? He said, it's not good for your image. I said, what are you talking about? Don't ask me then. So why one shouldn't like ABBA? I always did. So what's the problem? I can understand why they dress a bit funny sometimes to me, but it doesn't mean I don't like the music. Don't forget the trappings. Do you like this? Yep. Well, there you go.
Francis Rossi will be on tour in Lincoln at the Theatre Royal on May the 23rd. Tickets are available. And I also can believe that people can meet you. They can come and have VIP meet and greet you.
Yeah, I find all, that's why we recorded those tracks, because I thought, well, the idea that they do a grin and grip and they do a VIP and people have to, here I am, really nice to meet you. It's difficult. But so I thought in their bag they get four tracks that we recorded, and I think three of them are probably in the set somewhere. And it just felt like need to give people something for their extra piece, you know.